podcast. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Midnight Paco Podcast. As always, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the underscore great underscore C-O-R-E-E. That's where you can find me, or you can find us both on the Midnight Paco Podcast.
That's right.
This dude has a website.
JustinFullerComedy.com. Check it out.
As you can see, we have a fellow comedian in the house.
We do.
Also, pro wrestler.
Yeah!
Also, actor.
Yes.
Also, a poet.
What?
Also, a father.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Willie Santiago.
Give it up for Willie.
Yeah.
Hey, how y'all doing, y'all?
Where can they find you at, Mr. Santiago?
You guys can find me at Loco Willie Comedy. It's L-O-C-O, not local like your local city. L-O-C-O. Ooh. Willie Comedy, W-I-L-I-E. Any platform is Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. That's where you can find me, man. YouTube as well, but we got new things coming up, but that's where you find me. Local Willie Comedy. That's
me. Willie Santiago.
Welcome, sir.
How you doing, man? Thank you guys for having me, man.
Appreciate you guys, man. Appreciate you spending time with us, man.
Yeah. Long time coming, you know. I think the first time I saw Willie Santiago was, I think, was it at the Funny Stop?
I think it might have been at the Funny Stop, man.
Yeah, the Funny Stop.
That was the Funny Stop.
Yeah,
it was the Funny Stop, and then we saw him again at Exotic Cuisine.
Yeah. Yep.
And
his
then
memory is outstanding. Just so you know,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, the Exotic Cuisine and. And then I asked him to come rock with me at one of my shows.
Yep.
You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that, man.
Yeah.
One thing I remember is you telling me, man, the jokes I said somewhere else at a new place, somebody isn't going to hear the same thing. Like, basically, I think I worded it wrong, but something I say somewhere else doesn't mean I can't say it again in another place because the same crowd isn't going to be there. So I had jokes that I said prior, and I've said it a few times. As comedians, we have jokes and we work on them when we improve it. So we reword it, how we say it in front of a different crowd. And he was really intrigued about one of my jokes that I do, and he wanted me to say it. He was like, man, make sure you say this joke. So I got you, and I ended up not doing it. And so after my set, he was like, what the hell, man? Like, why didn't you say your joke? I'm like, well, I just said it so many times within this past month. And he's like, well, it doesn't matter what other people heard prior to that. It's about the crowd that you see here now. They ain't never heard that joke. And when I heard that, completely changed my whole avenue of comedy in the game. So... Yeah. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome, man.
Sure. I really appreciate
so,
that.
So it was old to you, it was new to the world.
Exactly. Basically. Yeah. That was it. Yes. Yeah. You just said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's dope, man. You know, like you hear in Cleveland, and, you know, I hate to keep giving this dude any type of attention, but I'm not going to say his name, but some of the pros, they be like, I'm not coming back to Cleveland.
I
ain't in Cleveland. But you here doing it in Cleveland.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You well received in Cleveland. Even though you know you're here, you're not giving up on Cleveland.
Yep. Nah, man. Cleveland is all love, man. Like, when you hear other people talking about, the crowd crosses their arms and is like, you'll make me laugh. You got to make them laugh, but when they have that kind of energy and they have their arms crossed and they're like, oh, break this barrier, you got to learn how to function from that. Make fun of them standing like looking like a bozo. Like, why are you here at a comedy show stiff-necked? For right. what? So now I'm gonna make sure your stiff neck gets loosened, man. It's not about just giving up. When I hear other professionals or professional comedians that have been doing it longer than me complain about the area they've been in, that's a challenge. It's a challenge you got to conquer. You think people that are truly in the game to be great are just gonna give up because of the hill they got to climb over? No. Real true hustler,
you good on here? Yeah.
And a competitor and someone that's about the business, they're going to overcome that.
Right.
Because if that's the case, there will never be any greats
right.
at all. So
Good training ground.
Good, for sure.
Like how long you been doing comedy?
I've been doing comedy for 7 years, man. Started in 2012. I did it for about a year. Had hair. And then I had a situation to where I got autoimmune disease. It's called alopecia. It stopped me in my tracks. I just had to learn to deal with the dramatic change. And I got back into it outside of just the hiccups of life. And in 2019, I got back into the game. And I've been doing it ever since. So in total, it's been 7 years.
Okay. So let me just, you know, back up a little bit because, you know, I start losing my hair on top of my head. At like 17, and it was receding and everything. I wore hats all the time. I don't know if it was because of that or whatever.
Okay.
But I can only imagine what you went through with losing like all your hair. I mean, I was, you know, being a young man.
In your prime.
Being a young man, losing your hair up here. Yeah, I mean, you know, I had my private time. Why me, God? What did I do? But then I was thinking about it. It's just hair. I'm healthy.
Yeah.
I'm not taking no medicines.
Yeah.
My teeth ain't falling out. I feel great. And I'm just losing my hair.
Yeah.
But I'll be lying if I said I didn't go through that. Like, why?
No, for sure. And that's understandable with us men. Like, you know, at the top of our head is like, you know, like we look forward to that. You know, growing up as kids, we're always trying to fix our hair up, make it look fly and shit like that. Things like that, you know. For me, I was 20 going on 21. And, you know, I had curly hair, like a curly afro hair. And I was shaving one day and I thought I nicked my chin. And it was a very smooth, small patch. Then it turned into me showering. And when I showered, I would just put shampoo on my hair and lightly, you know, grasp my hair as I'm like shampooing. And I would see a lot of hair in my hand. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what that was. I thought at first I was just like, oh, this must be some loose hair from like a haircut or whatever it may be. But every time, like right after that, I did it again and it became more hair in my hand. And I didn't know what it was. So like outside of that, dating back to like my family history, my father, my pops on his side, you know, my great grandfather, he was into the witchcraft, you know, and it's really not, it's very lightly spoken, extremely lightly spoken. Nobody here really talks about it. But when I heard about it growing up, I took that in consideration. And then now I found that on my mother's side, it was the same thing with my great grandfather on my mother's side, grandmother, grandfather, I can't remember. But both sides of my family, that was highly practiced. And so I don't know. I don't think that really what it was, but at that time, that's what I thought it was because nobody else in my family has my condition. Right. Yeah, my father's side, the baldness is like.
So wait a minute. You thought your grandfather put a curse on you?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Or was that just a result of them doing that, the Bruja shit? And that was just a result. Like that was like the
maybe so, man.
Your grandson will have. You know, or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and that's how I thought. Way. Like, yo, your first son is gonna deal with this stuff. So I'm like, holy shit, man! Like, oh man, I don't know why would they do that to me, man? Like,
or would it be like, your grandson will never have to pay for haircuts again?
If anything, he blessed me, right? Yeah,
right. Put more money. Yeah, $50 a head now.
You know, he sacrificed my useless finger.
I ain't gonna lie. I nicked myself the other day because I had to shave this shit.
Look, Willie, you ain't got to buy razors. They're expensive as hell.
Bro, you know how much money I save every year for haircuts and stuff,
haircuts,
bro?
Razors.
I go with it.
You don't have to go. I mean,
the haircut, only difference is no eyebrows, because so no many eyebrows, people.
No eyelashes, man. I have no hair anywhere, man.
Yeah, but
nose hair, ear hair, nothing.
I mean,
and I got a nose hair trimmer.
Yeah, I used to have one too, bro, and it felt so funny putting up in my nose. Ooh, it's like tickly.
Yeah.
But I have no idea how to feel.
I'm one of the hairiest dudes you know, probably.
Yeah.
My back's not hairy, thank God, but boy.
Wait a minute. Look, Justin told me this last episode, and I didn't believe him. And I'm looking at his arms. This dude shaved his arm.
I trimmed him.
Oh, you did, bro.
No, his shit was looking like Teen Wolf.
I know. You have to trim him, man.
No, you don't.
You have to.
He has to.
Well, because he didn't have to trim
no,
shit.
No, I don't trim it.
Yeah, you ain't got to do shit. Did,
his looks like a patched field.
Look at my legs.
Didn't get too much,
look at my legs. I don't touch my legs, but look at my legs. They're hairy as...
Leave your hairy ass arms.
That's crazy.
I can't because no, I walk around like okay. So let me ask you this. This bitch. Anywho,
so when the slap happened, the Will Smith and Chris Rock slap.
Oh, I have a video from that.
I have one too.
A YouTube video. No, I have a YouTube video. It's a comedian with alopecia. It's on YouTube, man. It's a comedian with alopecia. The video is specifically talking about that situation with the Will Smith and Chris Rock situation. Not like revolting mainly about it, but it talked about like my experience with the hair loss and then my response and how I felt like with the situation. When Will Smith did smack Chris Rock across the face, all because of, you know, his wife, Jaden Smith, with her looking like, you know, what's it called? What was the soldier?
G.I. Jane.
Yeah. And I thought that was like, I mean, come on, you put yourself in a position to look like that. What you thought people was not going to say is a comedian that was hosting that.
Yeah.
What you thought? And he said it something like that similar before. He always just joke with her about it. Like, about anything like that. And when he did that there, I don't know why he had to react like that. And I'm going to say it didn't tarnish his career, but it did put a hold on it for some point in time.
It did definitely tarnish his career.
I'll tell you what it did for me. It made me look at him like, because I liked him. He was like one of my favorites.
Well, my thing.
When he did that to one of my favorite comedians, I'm like, stinky booty. That's stinky booty activity.
But then, and you know, people say, that's right, he defended his wife's honor.
Bullshit.
And if you think about the grand scheme of thing, he defended his wife's honor. But guess what? If Chris Rock pressed charges, he would have went to jail.
I mean,
and then what that does initially is, how can you defend your wife while you're in jail? What you're doing is initially leaving her open for other attacks.
Yep.
And you can't do anything. But I was just wondering, like, because they said it was because of the alopecia, that's why she was looking like that. Did you feel a certain type of way, like, that's right, Will Smith?
Or? Nah, because she didn't really have alopecia. She had alopecia areata. Areata is just patches of hair that you lose. It's just clear patches, smooth patches on your head. But with treatment like cream and steroids, it grows back. So when I had it, I had it to the point, when I finally went to the doctors, and my thing, when I got to the point to where I had like no facial hair, I was saving every strand of hair. Where I had like 5 strands of hair on my chin, and I was saving it. That's all I had left. Would you sit there twisting it? Huh?
Would you twist
it? I was twisting it, like combing it. No lie, bro. Like, I was just admiring the last of what I had. So I had a scully on at that point when I went to the doctors. And I told him what I was having. I pulled up my scully, and it was just patches and patches of hair. And a group of doctors or people that are like interns or whatever, they all came in like looking at me like I was just a science experiment. Yeah. Like, I'm like, what the hell are y'all here for? Because they'd never seen somebody with my condition, I guess so, right? And they tried to give me steroids. So they injected steroids in my butt cheeks and all that. And all it did was make me feel like
strong.
I was on steroids. I had mad energy, and in the cream that would inflame your skull and make it red and try to promote hair growth. But I was already so deep into it to where none of that would have worked. And it didn't. So then I stopped going back for treatments because none of it worked. The steroids just made me have more energy, and the cream just irritated my skin. So
yeah.
I didn't have RA, I had Universalis, which is the Spanish term for all.
Okay.
The whole body.
Mm.
So
they finally diagnosed it, or you just were like?
Yeah, I knew it was alopecia universalis. They were trying to like treat it, like they were just trying to give me a sense of hope, but they knew what it was.
Fleecing you for your money. I was gonna say, did they try and like keep offering you like little things, like pay? I mean, because insurance will cover, you know.
Yeah, at the time, the insurance did, but they were trying to push it like I had any hope. I'm like, I have alopecia universalis. They told me that, and like, well, we could possibly do this to see if it'll come back. But the ultimate thing that I found out at that time was estrogen. Mm-hmm. You could take doses of estrogen to grow your hair back. And I seen a video of a talk show where this guy took estrogen to grow his hair back, but it looked very unnatural. His facial hair looked very smooth, like it was like long hair.
Okay. It was pubic hair.
And I'm not taking estrogen because I already got titties. I ain't trying to have real titties.
Hey, titties.
You know, and that's what it was. They took estrogen. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to take estrogen. Right. It's not worth me going her back. If anything, I don't care that I'm bald and I have no hair. The only thing, like, if anything I can have back is facial hair, because that really represents, like, manhood to me, right, like, having facial hair, you know? And then plus, like, fat people like me, you could hide your double chin, but you know, like that's why big boys be having that them beards, man.
What you saying, man?
Yo, if you was big like me, man, your chin be looking like this. You be chin be connected to their neck. You know,
I feel attacked.
No, you good. You got your chin sticking out, bro. You good? But the big boys. Yeah, I see, you know what I'm saying? That's why I was always having my beard and my chin strap, you know, to hide the double chin. No, man. But, you know, now I ain't got no choice.
I mean, to be honest with you, man, like, that's how you look when I met you. And if anything different, I probably wouldn't even recognize you.
Right.
Yeah, I get
that.
Yeah.
So you've been dealing, so it was fine, like, still at 21 once you started?
Yeah, I was 21. I was 20 when it started. And then I think I was 20. I'm going to say like late 20s, early 21s. It all went away. 2 weeks. It took like 2 weeks for the process. My homeboy Bryant, man, is my cousin's daddy. He cut me up. It was my last haircut I had was from him. It was in my basement. He cut me up, cut all the rest of the hair out of my face.
Mm.
And being bald for the first time, it felt real weird. My head, my whole skull felt numb, like numbing sensation.
It's weird for me to get bald the first time.
Dealing with that, I stopped doing comedy because just how I felt, everybody was just staring at me, kids and stuff looking at me weird. I wasn't very accustomed to that.
Yeah.
I mean, who would be?
But
I was about to be 20. I was in my prime, you know what I mean? So to change my whole look.
I'm sure it messed with you mentally.
I just kind of took it as like a hit, and it took me a few years, man. That's why I just got out of comedy and just doing anything because of that situation. Just trying to relearn to appreciate it. I didn't know what to appreciate. Yeah. Like, why the hell did this happen to me?
Right, I know you went through that, I know you went through a period of like, you know, you probably didn't want to be seen or nothing like that. But at the same time, it's like, now looking back, it's like, shit, it's only hair.
Yeah.
Like, what did it really stop? Nothing.
Honestly, without that, I mean, like, that didn't happen, bro. I don't know where my entertainment career would be. Like, yeah, I probably would still be on stage and all that stuff. Like, I would have revolted around that. But comedy, I don't think I would have gotten a comedy as I would say, like, as deep as I got into it. But as much as I've done it, I don't think I would have done that much with the stand-up comedy without this. Because I use the way I look as an advantage of me doing my comedy. Learn to love myself and making jokes of myself. Yeah. Because if I could learn to love myself the way the dramatic change happened to me at a time where I'm, like, becoming a man.
Right.
And the change happened so rapidly, and it took a few years, and then I get back into the game and I start making fun of what I've been through, which is just truly accepting and appreciating what the changes you got in your life.
Yeah.
And people laugh so much to where it got to the point where I was at Funny Stop Comedy Club and I did a set, and this lady was going through chemotherapy. Mm. And I have the picture in my phone, bro. Like, I never forget it. She was going through chemotherapy and she was bald as hell, like no hair at all. She was with a group of her peoples and she seen my set. And then after the set, she came up to me. She's like, hey, da-da-da-da. Like, you know, I came here. I wasn't expecting just to see someone like you. Right. You made me feel so good. Like, you really made me feel so happy and comfortable. Like, she was going through so much pain and all this stuff in her life. And I was the reason that, like, it brought light back into her life.
Feeling, yeah.
And when she came up to me, she was like, da-da. She tells me all this stuff. And I get goosebumps because I don't know how to react to it.
Right.
And then she takes off her wig. And she shows me, like, hey. And then she has, like, just, like, a little headband with a little fucking, like, a ponytail, like a button, like a little ribbon.
Mm-hmm.
And then she gives me her wig. I put it on, and we take a picture together. And she gives me this lollipop and this cancer pamphlet sticker thing. Right. I wish I still had it, but I got the picture of her. And okay. I wish I knew if she was still alive or not. I hope I get to see her again, man, because I'd love to give her the ultimate hug, because that was the most, like, that was the best time I've ever had as a comedian, was having someone that was going through the most death-defying thing.
Mm-hmm.
She comes to a show, and I bring the most light to her night.
Yeah.
It's got to make you feel good, man.
If you
get
us the picture.
Yeah, that shit.
If you get us the picture, right. I'll post it right here. Boom.
That was dope, man. It's like, you know, it's like one of the things.
Yeah, that's what's up.
That was,
man,
dark for you, but it brought light to you, man. That's dope.
Yeah.
I'm glad I met you, Willie. I'm glad you're here, man. Doing your shit. You definitely made me laugh. So it's like,
I appreciate you guys, man.
Yeah, man.
It's a dope time to be here, man.
I mean, that's a great story you have, and you know, you got plenty more to go, man.
With his comedy, and he's a wrestler.
Movies.
I said actor.
I do acting, man. I was the fight choreographer for Time Traveler from 2005.
Nice.
Don't follow him, please do. You guys, most everybody knows here in Cleveland is Time Travel from 2005.
Dope.
Watch that movie.
Shout out to Dave Flynn. For sure.
Time Travel
2005. I got called to do the fight choreography scene. I did that with them, and we got a new project coming up in the next couple months. That's all I'm gonna say.
Be on the lookout for it.
The 2026 year, look out for the movie coming out. We doing that. Bringing back my comedy shows. Me and my boy Tony Fresh with Showpiece Entertainment. We're bringing back Incognito Comedy.
Dope.
If you guys know about that, if you don't, just follow us on that webpage, man. Showpiece
Entertainment. Tell us about it, please.
Yeah, tell us about your show.
Showpiece Entertainment, man. Tony, you know, my boy Tony, his wife started that shit years ago. I grew up at, you know, b-boying at 12 years old with him, man. And in high school, got back into drama and all that stuff. Couldn't play sports anymore because of injuries. And in college, I went to theater arts. And we just doing skits. And then in our 20s, we just dealing with hiccups. But in our 30s, you know, everybody wants to see us do more skits and podcasts and all that, and comedy shows. When we were doing Incognito comedy shows, we did 4 shows, sold out every time, man. It was a fucking phenomenal time there. We're bringing it back because we have to, because, you know, everybody's asking for it, the comedians and all that stuff. So that's what we're doing with the wrestling. I wrestle for American Lucha Corps. Next event is Cleveland Taco Festival, Labor Day weekend. I'll be wrestling in the evenings. So from Friday to Monday, you'll see us there. Labor Day weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Where?
We'll be there. I think Monday is just an afternoon show, but the rest of the time is evening shows. Make sure y'all there. All you gotta do is just get in and y'all see the Lucha Libre wrestling.
What's the location, Willie?
The location is that Nautical Pavilion
in downtown. Geez.
That's where the Cleveland Taco Festival will be at.
That's a big stage.
Yep. There's a big stage, and then around the corner there's 2 stages. There's 2 stages, the one in the front, and you see the beautiful view of downtown, and you got the other one that gives you the beautiful view of the lakeside. It's a beautiful time, phenomenal tacos. That's the place to be. We got a bunch of high flyers and stuff like that. It's a phenomenal place. We did it last year. If you look on my page, see on Facebook and American Lucha Corps page, you'll see that. Shout out to David Torres. You'll see, that's the promoter. He is the one. The reason.
What's your wrestling name?
My wrestling name is Savage Santiago.
Savage Santiago.
Look out for Savage Santiago.
Yeah, yeah, you can see me on YouTube. I wrestled Rhino from ECW. ECW, Rhino is a legend. You can see that match on YouTube. It's Savage Santiago versus Rhino. R-H-Y-N-O is how you spell his name. Or you just pull up my name. It doesn't matter. But that was probably one of my greatest matches. But, yeah, the Taco Fest, go there. It's an elite time there. But outside of that, man, you know, my thing is being in the stage, being behind the camera, doing skits, you know, TikTok. That's, I mean, I love doing my skits on TikTok.
You and your uncle.
I like your skits. I like your skits, man. But at the same, but earlier I thought I heard you say you sing. Did I hear that?
Sing?
Did I heard you made a song? Did I hear that?
I mean, that was off camera, wasn't it?
I thought I heard it. Though,
was that
somewhere.
Off camera?
Should
we talk?
Wondering, but singing.
I don't know if that's something we should bring up.
That's like you probably, you won't be able to hear it now, but yeah, I did a song my senior year, man.
But if you did it, look, people that don't sing don't do songs.
Nah, it was just
so you're not a singer.
No, I like doing karaoke.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Like,
he was a poet. He liked to write.
Yeah, I like doing poetry. Yeah.
Are you a rapper or a poet or all?
I'm all entertainment, man. I could definitely freestyle. You give me an ill ass beat, I'm gonna definitely hit.
But you can hold a note. Bro. Can you hold a note? Because I can't sing. Can you sing?
I got like a tenor voice, man. Like
I'm a tenor, but I still can't sing. Yeah.
Like Sailing from Christopher Cross.
You could do that.
I could do that.
What? Yeah. That's one of my favorite songs.
I love Sailing, right? Isn't it so dope, bro?
Yeah,
it's dope. And I'm not saying I can sing just like him, but
okay.
Yeah. The little drink in me, man, and having a good time. Sailing is my thing.
You got enough drink in you? Hey Siri, play the instrumental of Sailing.
No, I gotta get this off. But yeah, man, yeah.
Sailing by Christopher Cross.
No, we don't want to rest.
Yeah, get flagged.
No, I don't want to get flagged. But okay, so
whole thing is he jumped past the breaking, like
the b-boy
and shit. He just threw that in the mix and he's talking about Tony.
My boy,
we used to go b-boy and we used to do all that back in the day.
In my mind, I am a b-boy, but go ahead, man. Yeah, tell us about that.
B-boy. I started b-boy, and people refer to it as breakdancing. I started doing that when I was 12 years old. There was a church like event thing on Wednesdays. It was called Fear Factor and City something. I can't remember, but Fear Factor is what it was. And we would go there every Wednesday in the evening, and it would be a gymnasium. We have a stage and a ball court, and people will hoop on a bar court and a stage. All the b-boys and b-girls, breakdancers, will be on a stage, and we would just wreck out and just, you know, just dance, you know, a cypher, which is what we would call it. Basically, it was kind of practice for us. That's when I knew how to start b-boying. I went to my homie Pupo's house, and then, you know, my brother now, and JoJo, he asked me if I wanted to break dance. I'm like, hell yeah. Didn't know what it consists of. Kind of had like a general idea in a sense, not really. But I was the biggest kid that attempted to do it. And I ended up being the guy that can do top right, which is the top dance, which is on your feet, up top, boom, boom, boom. Had the most flavor, really. Like, and flavor is like style.
I can't pop it.
I couldn't do all the high flying moves like, you know, the windmills, like constant windmills. I could get into it and do like get down into it real smooth, but I couldn't be continuous. I could do like a couple head spins, but other than that, like, you know, stacking, that was really it. But my focus, what people know me was dancing up top rock, which is it developed me learning how to do rocking. Rockin' was like, it's a gangster dance that developed in the 70s from gang violence. Instead of people literally like stabbing fight. You and shooting you. They'll do a gang dance. It's called an Apache line.
You know
where
what,
they dance and they mimic the art of shooting, stabbing, all that shit. And if we had beef with another gang or another crew, we'll do the Apache line or battle rock, top rock, and the loser lose. And then do your homework and come back and see me again. That's how they really like diminish the violent part in the ghetto, especially in the New York area and stuff like that. And that developed, and we learned that style. And I really took advantage of that style because of my physical, like I wasn't able to do high flying moves, but that really brought me a lot of respect.
At least could you do a cold earthworm though?
Earthworm, no, I never did earthworm. Yeah, earthworm for me is not something I did.
And that was Beat It instead of, you know, Bad. It was Beat It.
I Michael tried Jackson's to do an earthworm like almost 20 years ago.
You can't do it.
I almost did it. I tried to do it 20 years ago, and all you heard was crack. So that was over 20 years ago.
So yeah. What year was this when you started doing this shit?
2002.
Holy shit.
He's younger than us.
I know, but
I was doing breaking in the 80s.
That's what I'm saying. But like, that's what I'm saying. It's cool.
I'm 50. I'll be 50 in a couple of days.
I'm 47, dog.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So I'm 35. So yeah.
But to find out people start doing that shit in the 2000s is crazy.
Because he's a younger.
Because it was fading away.
Like a thing.
Yeah.
It's still a culture. It never went away.
No, I get it. Yeah.
But the group behind us, they were considered a ground effect. It was like, Neff Thiele, B-Rock. We had...
shout out to them.
Yeah.
Tiger. We had a few cats that was in there. I know I'm missing a bunch of names. But that was basically like the names of people that were doing it that were like the top dogs in the game. Mm. And then I met this guy named Dre Live, Forrest Get 'Em Gump. Forrest Get 'Em Gump, he originated in New York City. And he was a real true funky rocker. Like he was the true gem, Seven Gems and things like that. And Forrest Gump. He was a DJ, but a B-boy at heart originally, right? If I'm not mistaken. But he had taught, I believe he had taught Dre Life how to rock. And then he taught me and my boy Flavor Cat how to rock. We would go to these jams in Annabelle's in Akron, Christmas jams. And then, or even before that, like before those times, we would go to his house and we would blaze. Like he'll roll one, give it to us, and he wrote another one for himself. And then after that, we're like drinking, middle of high lives and all that. And then after it'll be like midnight, he's like, "All right, y'all ready to do homework?" And I'm like annihilated, bro. I'm like, "Huh? Homework?" So we go to the other room. There'd be a big ass mirror, and we started to learn how to rock. So in order for me to like naturally like rock like to the best, I gotta be under the influence.
That's the crutch.
So that's how we learn how to do it. So like me not being like jigging and like blazing and like that, I could rock, but it's not gonna be as smooth and official if I'm not like doing that kind of stuff, man.
Yeah, that's what I say,
but
too.
That's how people did it though, man. You in a club, you rocking, man. That's what it was, the smoothness of it, man. I'll never forget the muscle mechanics and all that end of doing that. I'll never lose it. It's just the cardio of it, yeah, for sure.
Right. No, I mean, your mind still says you can do it, but your body starts saying,
Yeah, no doubt.
So I mean, this is totally off the subject and everything. You know, I'm 50 years old. I got on an Apple Watch. And I looked over at Willie Santiago's watch. He got a damn calculator watch.
A Casio calculator
retro watch. The only people I know that wear those watches are accountants.
Yeah.
Either you're an accountant or you're a cheap wad. Which one is it?
I don't think a cheap wad.
You're a cheap wad. Like, meaning your pockets is tight. You watch every dollar you spend.
Oh, no. I got this because I always wanted it as a kid. And I'm like, you know, the gold watches, the gold
kid.
Casio watches that were the digital ones.
Yeah.
That were just like, it would like expand and like elastic and a slap on. Uh-huh. Like I have one in my car. It doesn't do that, but it like clicks on. But I got this because I always wanted this watch growing up. Because okay. I thought it was just so cool to have the calculator watch.
It's dope. It's dope. But the guys that I knew personally, they were accountants and they watched every penny.
They drove like Honda Civics.
And I used to have a Honda Civic, yeah. but I don't even know how to use a calculator, bro. This thing, bro. Not gonna lie to you.
Okay.
I just thought it was so nostalgic for me to have.
No, it's dope.
Yeah, it's dope. Can get it, bro. I ain't gonna lie, it's on Amazon for like $25, bro. Y'all want that? You can grab one, man. Y'all ain't gonna lie, it's not exclusive. You can get it, but I bought it because it brought. I wanted to have things that I couldn't have as a kid, like Iversons, yeah. The questions.
Yeah,
I could. My parents weren't getting that, so when I was able to afford them, I started getting a bunch. I got like 4 pairs of Iversons, man. I'm not wearing them right now, but nope. I got 4 pairs because I always wanted to have them.
Dope. I get it, man.
That's his mentality. He says you work for it, you deserve it.
Absolutely, man.
I agree. And then there's a lot of times I go to buy it, and I'm like, nah, I don't need it, and I put it back.
No, I definitely understand that because
I put it back.
I've done some purchases like that too, like things that I couldn't afford. I'm still going to get a Sigma bike, even though I'm 6'1", and I'm about to be 50. I find a Sigma bike, I'm getting it. But comedy.
Yeah.
You've been doing it for 7 years. Yeah, like, who are some of your influences? Like, who are some of the people you watched and said, yo, I want to do this?
John Leguizamo.
Shout out.
Yeah, John Panay.
Mm-hmm.
He is one of the funniest guys. John Leguizamo, him outside of a comedian and an actor, he did every role as an actor mm-hmm. he could possibly think of.
Yeah.
And as a comedian, man, he was just his showmanship was so superb. With the acting, like, you know, Wilfer, but comedian wise, John Leguizamo. Everybody loves Jay Chappelle and all that, but yeah, that's modern, like, for me, but John Leguizamo.
Benny Blanco from the Bronx.
Yeah. All the good ones. Shit, that one movie, when he was...
Tu Wong Fu? Not the chicks.
Yeah, Tu Wong Fu was crazy because...
He was my favorite one.
Yeah.
Empire
was just one of the dopest things he did, like playing the gangster, man.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like he transitioned that into where he was playing against Empire? He was doing a scene of John Wick.
It was a movie, Empire.
The Empire, yeah.
He was the main guy.
He ended up passing at the end.
Yeah.
Man, they peeled him back at the end.
But it was good.
That movie was so good.
Yeah.
But he played every role. King of the Jungle, John Leguizamo played King of the Jungle. If I know you know that movie, but it was in the 90s where he played a guy. He was he had MRDD, mental retardation.
Wow.
Yeah, he's like, I'm King of the Jungle. And Rosa Perez.
I remember
played
her.
In that. That was like his caretaker in the movie.
Oh, okay.
And she played like a lesbian or whatever, but regardless of the fact,
yeah,
he played that role so good. If y'all don't know what King of the Jungle is, I had to go on eBay and buy the DVD.
Wow.
Because they weren't selling it nowhere else. I had to like deep search the King of the Jungle, that DVD.
Yeah, because I never heard of it.
I never even opened it. To this day, I bought that like 7 years ago.
Never opened it.
I have not opened it yet.
King of the Jungle.
Yeah, King of the Jungle. Look it up. John Leguizamo, King of the Jungle.
You got a box of stuff you keep, like memorabilia?
Huh?
You got a box of shit, like a whole thing of things you keep?
I'm an old school collector, man. I got like rich, like video game wise too. Like, yeah, original Nintendo, Sega Genesis, 64.
Space Harrier.
Yeah. I have a bunch of stuff I keep, man, like Browns memorabilia.
Concert tickets, shit, movie tickets, yeah, you keep shit like that?
Yeah, I have movie tickets. My Moy's grandfather, rest in peace, yo Bob, he gave me a bunch of memorabilia, like Browns memorabilia,
great
playbooks from when the Browns first started.
I get it.
Fantastic team.
Remember the Walkman, the yellow Walkman with the thin headphones that came with the cassette player?
Yeah.
I got one of those, man. I got that in my garage, in my basement.
What are you talking about? We had those.
That's how we listen to music.
Yeah.
Really?
I have it, but these kids didn't have the experience of.
He's like, I love all that stuff.
So you don't know nothing about fixing the tape when they got that.
Oh, yeah, I do. Bro, I was born in 1990, bro.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the tape used to mess up.
So is my son.
You had to take your finger, your fingernail, and you had to spin that. just to get it to the right thing, right to the thing, bro. Because your radio wasn't able to rewind all the way back because it'll fuck it up, right? So then you had to manually take it out, and if it did, you try to rewind it back, it'd eat up your tape. So then you had to pencil. Eject it, slowly take faster. It out. Remove the film and then slowly get it. And if you had a bent, you're like, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
You ever have to tape that shit?
My sisters, I have two older sisters. They was born in 82 and 83, so I know that.
Babies. But
y'all group in 74. Yeah, motherfuckers.
Yeah, I was born in 75. I was born in
78, yeah.
My sisters was born in like 82, 83, So I grew up in the era of knowing how to do that, man, so. I know what it is, man.
It's just funny to hear you within those ranges talking about stuff
about
like
a yellow Walkman with the. I'm like,
I got the yellow Walkman.
I never got a chance to like physically buy it like y'all did. You know what I mean? Like if you had an opportunity to.
Hell yeah, you have to try and rip the plastic off that bitch. Like I think I stole a couple of those motherfuckers.
Yeah, I still got a. You know, this is like y'all are adults, but I still got the CD player. In a case, I haven't opened it.
Discman.
You remember this? You probably don't remember this. The tapes that we used to get used to come in plastic. It used to be like this big, long. Remember the plastic that was around the cassette tapes? Because they had to be stored so you can flip them, and they all had like those long ass plastic things that had nothing to do with them. You don't remember that shit with your memory?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like a cassette tape. Back in the 80s.
Yeah.
When you would go to the store and buy like a cassette tape.
Yeah. The covers, the cases that they come in?
Yeah. When you were in the store.
Yeah.
When you would pull it out, it had that long ass plastic piece like attached to it. Mm. It was nothing. It was like a mold. It was nothing to it. It would just hold it like in its place.
Mm.
You don't remember
it was
those.
A long ass cassette form, and then the cassette was at the bottom.
It was in the top.
So oh, you're like talking that, about
long
like,
ass cassette. You're
talking about
right
like
here.
If it was like it was like the casing that the long. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Stupid shit.
Yeah. That's why you couldn't steal them.
Yeah,
but I stole a couple of them.
Daniel
Pence.
That was a theft mechanism. All stores didn't have those, but you know, the ones that actually had them out that you can grab, they had them in those.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay, you almost threw me for like this dude's memory.
I like
memory.
Collecting
don't
old
that?
Things, but I never grew up in that time to where I was able to experience having that.
So you don't know, you don't, do this make sense to you? Be kind, rewind?
Yeah.
Bro, okay.
Blockbuster.
All right, that was a
I was born in 1990, man. I know Blockbuster. I know all that. Be kind, rewind is definitely a thing, man.
I was just wondering, like, because you can say it to one of these yeah's now, and they would be like,
like born in 2000. Yeah, for sure. No. I know that.
You said born in 2000. They 25, bro.
Yeah, but I'm 35. It's 10-year difference.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, you can say that to a 25-year-old. They'll be looking at you like, what does that mean?
That's crazy, right? Because Blockbuster ended in, like, like 2000, 2001 type thing, right?
I used to work at Blockbuster.
Before that, I remember going to ask my mom for Blockbuster because I was like, I was always late into like the technology. Like, PlayStation came out in what, 95, 96? And then I got the 64 when it came out in 96, 95. I got it. And then my mom used to take us to Blockbuster, and then going into Blockbuster, and I would just revolt right to the video game section.
Yep.
I didn't care about nothing else.
Yep.
And my mom and my sister would go to the movie section. I'm like, video game section. And I remember renting out Street Fighter Alpha 2. That was my shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, rent that out. Rented out in that and Rocket Knight Adventures for Super Nintendo, bro. Like, yeah, man, Super Mario World. All that, man. My first video game I ever played was Super Mario 3 for the Nintendo. And I have
That was one of
the
good ones.
I have that and a Nintendo. I have old shit in my house, man. Like, but I love the nostalgia, man.
Yeah.
But I also have like new stuff where it's like one cartridge has all the games in it. But I love having the actual copy.
Right.
To push it in, hit the power button.
Blow out the cassette.
That's Nintendo. You didn't have to do that with Sega.
I got a box TV. I found it. I bought it. A box TV. What the fuck? Yeah, box, VHS, DVD connector.
I'm good on the box.
Yeah, I just
I'm cool with the.
I just recently had some extracurricular activity with a box TV.
I love box TVs.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it's gone. It's destroyed.
Bye. Bro, box TVs. All right.
Oh, never mind.
Y'all older than me. I'm mad about box TVs. I love my box. I love the box TV.
Man, it's heavy for no reason.
Yeah.
See, you hold on. See? You love it.
Yeah.
Nobody ever asked you to move, and
oh yeah, you think I moved it? Oh yeah, I know box TVs are heavy, bro.
Like you gotta move it for no reason.
I mean, I had one of the big screen TVs before. It was like on a flat screen,
oh, that's
like
terrible.
The bottom. I had one of them bitches. I bought that bitch in 2005 when I got back from Iraq. And I carried that bitch with me forever.
The two handles in the back?
Yep.
Dragging
that motherfucker.
Yeah, I already know.
Bro,
tell me,
bro. I think
it was on the sides. I'm also, bro. I may be 35, but I'm also. I've been hearing them and putting them on your stomach, leaning your knees back, and walking down. Yeah.
Yeah, it was tough, but tough times. Good old days. Those were the good times, man.
So, like, how did you get into the wrestling scene? Like,
I was working a marketing job, doing AT&T telemarketing as a solution provider. I ran into this guy. He was a wrestler, and he knew my sister, my second oldest sister, and. My sister's best friend. His name was Josh. Josh Kano Emanuel at the time. His name is Josh. He'll hear it. But we talked, we met, we spoke, we connected pretty well. And then he told me he was a pro wrestling wrestler. And then I told him about someone that I knew. And then he knew that guy. And then he told me he did wrestling. I'm like, oh, I want to try wrestling. And he was trying to teach me things, like, and learn lunch break. And someone else he knew, which is my boy David, I eventually started connecting with him because my boy Josh didn't have a school at the time. When I was growing up, I lived across the street from a guy named Johnny Gargano. He's a professional wrestler for WWE right now.
Okay.
He's a tag team partner with someone else. I can't name the name. I can't think of it off the top of the head. But he is a professional wrestler in WWE. You know, the highest part of the game.
Yeah.
I grew up across the street from him playing with toys and all that. Anyways, his stepfather ran a wrestling organization, and I always wanted to try to be a part of that. But I was too young. And anyways, I met Josh doing thing, and then like a few years later, 2017, I started to learn how to do professional wrestling. I was training at a school in Lorraine. It was like a warehouse with a ring. And David was teaching me that. And then it stopped on and off for like a year or so.
Who put this together? Was it legit? Or someone, yeah, I could teach you wrestling.
Well, the dude, David Tower, he learned from a guy named... damn, was it John Lightning or Jim? I don't want to be disrespectful.
Oh, yeah, I got
but
you.
But it was a guy that passed away and taught him, bro. I can't remember.
Okay. So somebody
Johnny
that
Lightning,
learned some stuff.
Lightning. Goddamn, I feel so disrespectful about not remembering him. But he had passed away, but he had taught my boy David Torres how to wrestle.
Okay.
And he had passed away, and he had learned all that from him. And at 2017, he had opened up a little school in Lorraine. So I drove an hour away to go train. And we did that shit for a couple months. And people just weren't paying, so I ended up shutting down. He opened another school. Yeah. I went to that. I didn't truly start really wrestling until about 2020, like I had my first Royal Rumble. I had my first Royal Rumble in like 2017. I did it, and then I won. He let me go over. Going over means you let me win, and I won, and that was cool. And then that didn't happen again until about 2021. Got back into the game with him. I did another Battle Royal, ended up winning that one, and then I've been in consistently for 3 years. Wrestling matches outside from Michigan, PA, Southern Ohio, Western Ohio. Been doing that. I won the title, open weight division championship. Held that for some time. And, you know, I'm working and working my way to eventually or hopefully winning the heavyweight title, but
you know, you're still we'll doing it now. Huh? You're still doing it, right?
Yeah, I'm still doing it. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I have Santiago Band. I'm the heel. I'm the bad guy. And I love doing it. The kids love it. And I enjoy doing the wrestling. The physicality, yeah, that's definitely a tough thing to go through and do that. But, you know, I love doing it, man. It's fun to do, man. I love the art of it. It was a bucket list for me to be a champion and defend a title. I did that.
Okay.
And I'm going to do it for a few more years, and I'm eventually going to hang up the boots, man.
Body but, still feel good, huh?
And it's Goddamn young bucks, adrenaline, man.
I love it, though. You're still in your young 30s. Yeah, you're at
the adrenaline, man. Yeah. But being in sports, growing up, and b-boying and stuff, I definitely put a damage to my body.
Yeah, for sure. You're going to feel wrist, it when you're my age, and all that mother stuff, sucker. Going through tables. That's right. Yeah. When you're 47, you're like, ooh, what the fuck?
Yeah, for sure. My thing is being behind a camera acting and being funny, being a character.
Yeah.
That's my thing. So I enjoy wrestling to build my brand.
Right.
Nice.
Speaking on that, we touched on, you know, that you've been doing comedy 7 years, this and that, but at that age, like, you were what, in your 20s, early 20s, right? 20? 21?
Right
when you
now?
When you first started comedy. Like
the comedy, I was 20, 21 years old.
What made you, like, at what point were like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try it.
Being in
I'm
a drama club.
Try it.
Yeah, being a drama club in middle school.
But what got you, yeah, and tell me how it got you to your
my
first
stepfather,
open mic.
I grew up with my father, man, when I was 8 years old. My mother, man, I called him my father. He bought a Panasonic camera, and we started doing like little footages and like little videos and stuff. My second older sister, Shani, she would do videos like cooking stuff, and I was always intervening and always like being behind the camera. Mm-hmm. Then I got into drama club. When I got to middle school, won 2 awards for best actor.
Okay.
Both my 7th and 8th grade year.
Nice.
And but then I got to sports when I was in high school. Right. So I was like, oh, sports. Yeah. With sports, I can get the honeys, because I was like watching Disney Channel and stuff like that. So I'm like, yeah, that definitely is what it is. But it wasn't the school I went to.
Yeah.
But my senior year, I got back into drama because I had injuries to wrestling and football.
Okay.
And went to college for theater arts. And I didn't study anything else. I mean, I had English and math classes, yeah, but I didn't go to them. I just wanted to do theater.
Wow.
But theater and being behind the camera is always things I love to do. And my boy Tony Fresh and his wife, they always told me that I'm going to be the one to make it. When I was a senior, my classmen, they always told me, like, yo, you're going to be the one that's going to be the star. And I'm like, yeah, I'm very humble. I'm like, yeah, whatever. But the older I get, like, now I'm like, all right, I see what they're saying. Like, right. The optimism, you know what I'm saying, being like that. And I just can't, I don't know anything else that I could do it's either this or nothing. This or I fail. I do construction work, I fix homes, but my thing is being behind a camera, making people feel happy, make people feel good.
That's your passion.
That's my passion. And I'm not going to give up I'm not going to give up. And this is my thing that I want to wake up and do and be able just to be able to be comfortable with my living and to wake up and make people feel happy and good. That's what I'm built for. I'm built for this, and I can't quit it. And that's what this is.
Right. Now, how did you get to your first open mic? Like, what got you there? Like, how did you say, okay, let me go try this?
I think just trying to find out. I didn't know that they were doing like comedy in Cleveland, and I can't remember the time I actually found out that they was doing open mics. I found out there was open mics with like D-Hawk, Sean Showtime, and all them.
They were
doing that. They had auditions for a comedy show.
Okay.
And I've seen that shit on Facebook or MySpace. And MySpace. I went to audition on the East Side, and I remember it was a weight room, like a building, a small building, and it was like a weight room, like they had like a bench press and like all these other equipments, and Sean Showtime, D-Hawk was there recording with his camera, and Sean Showtime was there and a few other comedians, and we were auditioning to be a part of the show. So I went there with my homies and just, all right, do your 5-minute set. So I learned to, before I start my set, is turn my back, take a big deep breath, and go, all right, turn right to him. And I did my set, like, boom, 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 boom. And I can see D-Hawk's face, like, oh damn, like, he's, like, with it, like, on it. And he recorded it, and I got to do a handful of shows with him.
Okay.
And then this situation happened. Then I just kind of asked. So I went to Lakewood, did some shows like open mics in Lakewood.
MVP.
Yeah. Joe Whelan, all those guys from like 2012 and all that. Joe Whelan, like, you know, okay. So people like that. I did that. And it's just, you know, at that time, people were trying to be great, and I'm a young guy, new in the game, and they didn't give me much of respect. Not like saying that they did, like Sean Showtime, D-Hawk, that wasn't them or okay. anything like that.
No, but doesn't
as
sound
I expanded
like that.
Out, it just kind of how it went, like, you know,
yeah.
it was a heavier competition back in the day.
Right.
You know? And that's all it was. And then when that happened, it was easier for me to just kind of transition out of it and okay. just kind of figure out my personal life.
Right.
And I got back in the game. But I give the utmost love, like to Delonte Hawk. He is
The D Hawk.
Yeah, D Hawk was the first person to actually record myself for an audition to perform in front of the book shows.
Yeah.
And I give him all my respect. Him, Shaw Showtime,
yep.
all them guys that were there in that weight room, like that room Dope. Was like workout thing, and they recorded. Yeah. They set just to see who they can book for their next show.
Yeah.
And that, I never forget that time, man. So anytime I've ever seen him, I actually did a video content with him.
Went viral, by the way. A viral video with D-Hawk.
Hey.
Yeah, man. And now, you know, I give him the almost love him to death, man. And
yeah.
I never Great forget guy. That first time yeah, I got to audition awesome. For a show. And then did my thing at Funny Stop Comedy Club. That was my anniversary. Yeah.
And we met you, so I'm glad you got back into it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it looks like you almost bowed out, but you got back in. I'm glad you did, man. It was dope. I'm glad we met you.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate you guys, man.
Yeah, I'm glad you came Great on, time. Dog.
Hey, that's dope, man. Hey, so before we wrap up, like if there was a reality magic wand, what would Willie Santiago be doing right now? Like, you know, like if you had it your way, what do you want to do? Like, put it out into the
Bottom
universe.
Line.
Acting, what do I want to do?
Wrestling or?
Oh yeah, acting all day, man.
Let's go.
I want to be behind the camera acting, man. That's all I love doing, man. I love being behind the camera acting. Give me a script. I can't say I've had much of an ultimate experience of memorizing a script, but I did Shakespeare in high school, won competitions with that, and just being behind the camera, man. I have the face reactions and all that, and it's what I do behind the camera, man. Being in the movies, anything like that.
In front of the camera.
Yeah, because you're filming.
Being in movies and all that kind of stuff, man. That's what I like to do.
Can you do my favorite, one of my favorites right now? Now since you took the glasses off.
Yeah.
You stupid.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready, baby.
Yeah. What you want to see?
Yeah, I told you you'd do it.
Uncle Fester.
Uncle Fester's easy. Cause all you gotta do is bring it back like.
Yo!
If you had a light bulb, it would be over with. I used to have a light bulb that lit up.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
That's so dope.
Uncle Fester's my thing, and Ninja Turtles, man. Yeah, learn to love yourself, man. If you don't know to love yourself, you don't learn to love yourself and what you are and who you is, man. You're never going to succeed or just be better in your life, man. Right. Everybody has hiccups. Everybody has faults. But if you're going to drag on to that negativity and just feel sorry about yourself, don't do it. It's not worth it. There's no positivity into that. There's no gain into that. What's gain is learn to love yourself. Look what happened with me. I learned to love myself, and I utilized that into my comedy and my entertainment. Everybody that sees me know I'm going to be one of the greats. You're not, I'm something that they love to see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't play games. I'm very serious about what I do. My craft is a craft that I take to the depths of my grave, man. Like just like these guys next to me, they love what they do. Outside of this, they make sure they handle their business just as well as everybody else does.
That's right.
But what we do is we have skills, we have traits, we have a passion to make sure that y'all are entertained. And we love to entertain everyone.
Facts.
So learn to like it, learn to love it, and learn to embrace the beauty that's within yourself. And if you can't, read a book because you'll know it. You hear me?
Local Willie is out.
Yeah, with yeah, that being heard. Said, yo, Jay, where can they find you, baby?
Everybody, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the_great_CORREE. That's where you can find me. Or you can find us both at the Midnight Paco Podcast. Justin has a website.
JustinFullerComedy.com. I got an update.
Hey, Willie, once more, where can everybody find you, man?
Y'all can find me at Loco Willie Comedy, LOCOCOMEDY Willie, WLIE, Loco Willie Comedy, and all the platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Make sure y'all do, and even on YouTube, and Showpiece Entertainment, ShowpieceENT.com. I love y'all. See y'all soon.
Hey, with that being said, thanks for joining us.
Yep.
Peace.
Yeah.
Peace.
Peace out.
Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast.